Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan of salvation. Please guide us and protect us as we endeavor to do your will on earth. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, that reminds me of Matthew 16:26. What profit is it for a man to gain the whole world and then to lose his soul? And of course, there was Jim Elliot who said to Elizabeth Elliot pretty much similar words, "He is no fool that gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He was speaking of giving up his physical life to gain a better eternal life. And you know, that is what he did as he was attempting to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the remote indigenous people, the Araucani Indians of Ecuador. Through his death, he and his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, did bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Araucani Indians. And that event is told about in the movie End of the Spear. Well, there's so many good lessons in the Bible. The Bible tells us how to live, and there is wisdom all the way from the Gospels to the Proverbs and just all throughout the Bible. I think about preparedness, and I notice the scriptures that speak about preparedness. Like in Proverbs 6, we are told to be not lazy, but to be prepared. And look at how the ants store up. And I do find there to be a Bible theme to be prepared in every way. Yes, physically, and yes, spiritually. And nowadays, there's less biblical knowledge, and people tend to remember what other people say that are not straight out of the Bible. And I remember, and other people remember, what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, those who fail to prepare are preparing to fail. And a lot of people remember that saying. It's just a matter of doing it, now that you've heard it. You know, when you look around at your neighborhood, or your nation, and the world, you see that there really are accidents and events in this world. And they can cause you to think about preparedness so that you don't have troubles after an event. Always, besides the physical preparation, there is always the spiritual preparation, which is much more important than physical preparation, because you never know when some kind of a surprise is going to come along, or even when life ends. And that would be when we meet Jesus. And our eternal destiny is determined based on our relation with Jesus. Yeah, I saw a funny post the other day. It said, eternal life is like real estate. The important part is location, location, location. Well, maybe it's not a right time for a joke, but I just thought of it. Well, I probably ought to not joke about something that's serious. And back to serious, we can look at Matthew 24:42, it says, "Keep watch, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming." And of course that means, or what day you are going to meet your Lord. And we do have our day-to-day thoughts that we are all, we're entwined with them. We think about what we need to do that very day. But we must not forget about the larger events of, really, of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. And it's something we often overlook because there are so many distractions going on around us. We think these distractions are important, but there's nothing more important than your eternal destiny. We have so many things that are calling out to get our attention these days. I mean, you just look at, there's your phone. Can you ignore your phone? Most people can't. And then there's the advertisements that get you starting to think in a certain direction, which might not be good for you. And then there are personal conflicts and even big events like wars. Things just going on where you are concerned for your physical safety. And then we have, you know, what's going on these days is, well, I think of them as scare tactics about the present virus. Yeah, where there are reminders everywhere about how dangerous it is, and we need to stand 6 feet apart, and we need to wear a mask. And often, if we are not wearing a mask, we cannot come into a store. Even if you have a medical exemption, they tell you, oh, you still can't come in. And the grocery stores, same thing. They say, you cannot come in without a mask. You can't wear a mask? Then just call ahead, and we will get your groceries for you, bring them to the curb, and you can pay us at the curb. But no, you cannot come into the store. They will tell you it's the law. But no, laws are made by legislation. It's not a law. It's a dictate by the governor or a health official. And you know dictates, they are made by officials and often by dictators. Do you wonder where this will end up? I do. I know there are things going on that the government does officially, and we just are left to wonder about them. Like last week, there was another release about a statement about prisoner releases. And so I looked about the prisoner releases in the year before, and I found out that there were just so much information, you just couldn't quite figure it out. But there are, or there have been, and we expect there will be more prisoner releases or early release so they don't catch and spread COVID within the prisons. And I just kind of wonder, why did not the state of California just require prisoners to wear masks? After all, we free citizens are required to wear masks. So why not require the prisoners to wear masks? They are supposed to be effective. Well, I guess we're going to have to just see what we see on that one. But about the prisoner releases, there is a movement going on now to have an early release for as many as 76 thousand prisoners, and many of them were charged with serious and violent crimes. Oh yes, like murder and rape. These are serious criminals, and some of them are even under life sentences. But they are now expected to have early releases. And if you look back at history, you can see that there is a pattern here of what happens when prisoners are released into the public. Well, crime increases, violence increases, and the citizens cry out for a strong police. And there are such efforts going on across the country to defund the police agencies. So what are we going to do? The next step, I think, is to have a strong, very strong, even brutal, national police force to calm the violence. See, that's history. That is what has happened repeatedly in history. And then you know who gets to control that national police force? A strong tyrant, or a tyrannical government, or a dictator. That's just what history shows. Will it happen again? Again, we don't quite know the answer, but we know there is a pattern. And patterns pretty much all the time repeat. And a part of that pattern is that Christianity is suppressed and liberty is suppressed. The people are suppressed. That's the pattern. And it starts when people get afraid. There is a fear of the virus and what might happen. There is the fear of violence and what might happen. There is the fear of something, maybe of invasion. There's just fear that is growing within the society, and the people cry out for the government to help and to keep them safe. And the government says, okay, we will keep you safe. Just do what we tell you. We have it all figured out, people. The government will help you if you obey us. See, I know it's kind of an exaggeration, but it's also kind of true. See, those are the things that go on in those small rooms where people figure out what is ahead for our future. And I know that happens in organizations and even public service organizations, that people meet, they have a plan, and they say, now what do we need to do to get our plan put into effect? So I'm sure it would be that way in government, even though my dealing with government has been limited. I've still seen steps in that direction. Well, just days ago, our President Biden signed an executive order calling for a civilian climate corps. And then AOC chimed in, and she agreed. But she called for a 1.5 million man civilian army. Well, it kind of sounds like a federalized patrol force. It's already been talked about, and a part of the talk is that everyone in that would be paid $15 per hour and have a term of service of 5 years. Well, it's all interesting, isn't it? I wonder what'll happen. Of course, $15 sounds really good right now. But with the inflation that the financial people see as coming along very quickly, $15 won't be so much. Well, the White House statement said this workforce is to empower America to lead a clean energy revolution that achieves a carbon pollution-free power sector by 2035. And you know, somebody else mentioned 2035 recently. It was the governor of California. He had an executive order that said there would be no new gasoline-powered cars or trucks sold in California by the year 2035. Those are the new ones. But it means that if there's a business or a government that wants to have a fleet of vehicles, they will not be gasoline-powered cars or trucks. And it says by 2035, and that means, really, 2034, if everything goes according to that plan, there won't be any new ones. Well, thinking again, one more thing about that Biden executive order is that it was observed that it puts the United States on an irreversible path to a net zero economy by 2050. Well, there are people who are looking ahead, and they have their plans right in the forefront of their minds and their thoughts for how to put them into effect. And we get to comply. Oh, won't that be fun? Mr. and Mrs. Citizen, comply with this order. And we say, yes, sir, Mr. Government. Well, of course, we want some of the things that we are promised. We want jobs. We want clean air and clean water. I just think it's so amazing that the United States is making so many expensive efforts to have clean air and clean water, but China and India, they're not. They are not. They are exempt from their pollution controls for another 10 years. And so, what's China doing? They are putting online coal-fired electricity-generating plants. China is putting one new coal-fired electricity-generating plant online every week. Every week, a new plant. That's going to make a lot of dirt in the world, dirty air. So, but we, the United States, are making everything so clean, and it is costing a bundle. It just seems like it isn't fair. Well, it isn't. So let me get back to the government or the state. Well, lots of states are doing it, but in California, we are releasing prisoners, and that increases crime. And you know what happens then. The people cry out, and the government says, we're going to help you. We're going to create a large police force. And there's a pattern that has been going on for a long, long time. And then it's pretty interesting because we can recognize that there's a plan. But how many people say that we don't trust the media or we don't trust the government? Well, lots of people do. But even when they say that, they still ask the government to help with any problem that they want to have help with. So where will it lead? Where will it lead? It will lead to a condition where we don't really know what's going on and somebody is going to control all the resources, and that includes the news resource. See, in the news, we get fed a certain story, a line of information that will lead us from one place to the other. And the news is getting unified so that we only hear one news story. It's kind of like all the alternative news sources. Well, they are not able to reach us people with the news. Maybe you've heard that the LifeSite News, it's the ninth largest conservative news agency in the U.S., has been permanently removed from Facebook and YouTube. And apparently, because it is reporting on the coronavirus and the coronavirus vaccine. And, of course, this gets my attention because from time to time, I also have talked about these issues. And now I'm not a news person. I am a opinion person, and I have a Christian perspective on things. But the thing is we have a control of the media that is bearing upon us. And so we're getting limited news and no or very few alternative news sources are continuing. So yes, by all means, pray for the alternative news sources. Like me, that's fine. I'll be happy to have prayer. And pray for the independent radio stations like this one. And these radio stations and people like me are under attack. We are in the crosshairs. And I don't talk about those things very much, but, I did have, 5 months ago, I did have my little home burned down from an unknown cause. Was that an attack, a spiritual attack played out in the physical world? It could have been. But I'm not alone. There's lots of people who've had those kind of attacks. And, a couple of months ago, this radio station, I'm sure you did not hear, but thieves targeted their electrical panels and wires, and that caused a problem for the radio station. See, are these just random events, or are these spiritual attacks? Could be either, but the point is they're happening, and there is another point of view, too, and it is how blessed we are if we would be considered to be worthy of an attack. So we are doing something so good that we are going to be attacked? There's something nice about that. But the point is that your prayers are needed. And pray for the people who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Christian people and radio station people too. Okay, pray. There's lots of ways that we can have Christian outreach, and we all do what we can, and it's important to do something. Remembering that we are in a spiritual battle that's going on right here in the physical world. So remember to pray for the many people that are having problems in life. And I don't just mean me, certainly I don't. I mean, there's so many people all over the world who are under attack for their faith. Pray for them. And certainly pray for the children, the innocent children, the young who do not know their left hand from their right. That comes right out of Jonah 4:11. But there's many people who need prayer. And certainly we pray for the innocent children. Of course we do. And that's what we can do, if nothing else. Pray. Become a prayer warrior in the kingdom of God. Because we all have distractions. Distractions all the time. I mean, just think, have you wanted to pray lately and then had something come up? I know when I'm driving in the car, I purposely turn the radio off and think, I'm going to have some prayer time. And it's just amazing how many times my hand automatically goes right over to the radio. I have a moment of prayer and then a pause and my hand goes to the radio. So the point is we have distractions. There are distractions every place in life. They're constant, and they keep us from our prayer relationship with God Jesus. So, think about these things. Think about all of them. We have distractions. Oh boy, there are too many to even mention. They are everywhere. And so we have to fight. Oh, a fight. Sure. Well, it's a battle to have a time with our Lord and Savior Jesus. Is it a conspiracy that we have that going on? Well, you know what? It might be. And speaking of conspiracies, I think it was about 3 years ago. It was. I saw a YouTube video that showed right about 15 news reporters from different news stations all across the country on television news. And they were reporting the very same story and using the very same words, exactly the same words and exactly the same story. And I thought, now, doesn't that just go to show you the news is controlled? 15 different people telling the exact same story with the exact same words. So you know there's a battle going on for your thoughts, for your actions, for everything, for you to not spend eternity in heaven. That's another part of the battle. So it is a plan, and it is against all of mankind, and we have to stand up for the kingdom of God. We do. There about this battle, I'm thinking about, it's been understood for quite a few decades, and our various agencies of the government have been a part of creating this plan. And so have the businesses, the big businesses, to buy their product. And there was a book called Propaganda that was copyrighted in 1928. It was authored by Edward Bernays, and he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And his book studied psychological manipulation and how to get the people to do things that they didn't want to do. Advertisers used his program. Government people got to using his program. It was the art of psychological manipulation and how to do it. And sure, you can look at that book. It takes study. It talks about concepts, and if you add things to it, you can get a pretty good understanding about how to control people, control the masses, and get them to do what you wanted. So, can you see why it's popular among the big corporations and among the big government people? Yeah. By the way, I think there's a conclusion you could give to that book, and that is that a control of the masses of people can be done through a quote-unquote invisible government. So yeah, all these things have been known. It is manipulation, and it's been known and done for so long. And I've seen that happen in my history with business. I've seen it. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. It's just that we are manipulated, and we have to stand up against being manipulated. There are so many people who intentionally want to control us, and so we have to intentionally understand the process and how to escape the grasp of that manipulation. But it takes an intentional effort on our behalf. We have to actually do it. We have to seek to have the results of staying out of that manipulation. That's what it takes. And yes, it takes study. It's not just an easy thing to say, I don't want to be manipulated anymore. No, we have to actually understand how images come to our mind, how our thoughts are directed, and we have to counter them first in our mind, and that includes the images in our mind. And if we don't, well, then sorry about your luck. You're just going to be manipulated because you didn't care enough to examine that problem and do something about it. And I think of Thomas Jefferson, and he said, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And you know what? We have to be vigilant. We have to do something about it actively. If we don't, we are being set up to be manipulated to do what other people want us to do. And history shows they're going to be very, very successful because most of the people aren't going to take any effort to keep themselves free of manipulation. Just keep God at the center of your life. That's a big part of it. And then your awareness to God and your prayer life right in front of you, that is a big thing to keep your mind free of the other distractions and influences of life. Keep your thoughts on God and the Bible. That just helps ever so much. And the Bible provides all sorts of entertainment if you want it. There are people with stories that are copied today. The drama and trauma that goes on in the Bible, it's just amazing. Well, how unfortunate it is that we get the images and the thoughts from media, but we have to resist those and put godly thoughts in our mind. A part of what we do is with the advertising system and the education system. Those both are huge influences on our life. And I think of the children, how they are taught from an early age. Well, kind of like there is no God. Kind of like pay attention to other things like evolution. And, you know, these things start from an early age. And if we don't teach the children the basics of God and his power in this world, but that he also gives us freedom to choose, well, then we have lost a wonderful opportunity to raise children that are free of those certain manipulations. Of course, they're not really free of them. They just have an opportunity to resist them. So we can understand how the school system is influencing the thinking of the children. Hey, and I went to public school too. I know it. I went to institutes of higher learning. I know it. They influenced my thinking and my mind. And sure, as a child, I did have some Christian teaching, but it became pretty obvious that I had to reject that because there were contradictions that the world presented. So I did. I rejected God, and I became interested in the world, just like so many of our children today do. And then as a middle-aged person, I realized I wanted to know the truth. And so in my 40s, I searched for the truth, and that led me to searching biblical history. And my point is here is that we have to introduce the logic of Christianity to children. See, the Bible is logical, and it is something that we can learn from reason. And that's how I learned about the Bible, so I know it can be done. I reasoned it out, and I found out there is logic to the way of the Bible, and it's much more logic than, for instance, evolution that's being taught in school. But the young adults will go back constantly to what they know, what they learned. And if it's not God, it will be evolution. And it'll be ungodly themes, unbiblical themes. For instance, there was a news article just recently, within the last week, about some huge, newly discovered structures that were found in Saudi Arabia. And the article said they predated the Egyptian pyramids by 2,000 years. One structure was 1,200 feet long, and it was built using 24,000 pounds of basalt stone. Yeah, that was before the Egyptian pyramids. And see, if you look at those huge structures that were that had huge stones moved, and there are other examples of them in the world. There's the Baalbek ruins in Lebanon. There's the stone walls in Peru, in Machu Picchu, in Cusco, in Sacsayhuama in Peru. They're just, and in China, and off the coast of Japan, there are just huge stone walls in many places of the world. And if you visited them, I have a couple, and you can just see that humans did not do that. Man did not do that. And certainly ancient men did not do that. And the answer is, what else can it be? The answer, well, if you look at what's in the Bible, you can see that long ago, like in Genesis 6:4, there were giants on the earth in those days. Also, Numbers 13:33, we saw giants and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. And, you know, we dismiss these things out of the Bible. And when we hear the rumors of giant skeletons that are 12 feet or 15 feet, or in the older days, there were skeletons that were discovered or unearthed that were 20 feet high, and two of them were 30 feet high in North Africa. But the point is we are not taught about the biblical themes, and so we don't believe there can be giants. But if you read the Bible, you can see that there were giants. Oh, and so if we don't have the biblical themes, we go to what the world teaches. And yes, I'll talk about evolution, or yes, I'll talk about, oh, think about the controversies we have that distract us. Like the pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib rapture. Isn't that one that just distracts us? Well, don't be distracted by the things that are right in front of you. There is a certain reality to what we find physically. But in Saudi Arabia desert, there was that the building that had 24,000 pounds of stone used for that building. Structures are existing today that we do not understand. And we don't see how they could be 20 feet tall or 30 feet tall for what? How did ancient peoples get those huge structures up there? We just don't understand why a doorway would be 30 feet tall. It's beyond our understanding unless we have another part of history, which is Bible history. So, let's get that Bible history and realize the Bible really is true, and we can learn from the Bible examples more than we can learn from the earthly human evolution principles. It's kind of tough to do if you have to relearn, but if you are interested in searching for truth, that's what you do. You relearn. You learn something all over again, just like I did as a middle-aged person. I learned that there really is a God, the Bible is true, and Jesus died for us. And when we accept his gift of salvation, we are also saved and have our eternal destiny in heaven, not hell. So, learn from the reasoned and rational thinking that there is among biblical scholars. Oh, boy. Well, there are things going on in the world, distractions everywhere. That's just a part of the life we live, isn't it? Distractions. They can come in every form, in conflict, in our finances, all sorts of things. And what we have to do is remember to keep our attention on godly things. We practice that. We practice prayer. We practice thinking about other things, that is, other people. The world is full of problems, and the problems drive us to think about other things other than God, that is to say. So if you think about people in the world that are all concerned about not having enough food, and are their families going to go hungry tonight? Yes, they are thinking about food more than God at that moment. But always have that concept of God that you go back to and dwell on. Have that relationship with God Jesus. Oh, there have been so many things going on. This world it has some very trying times. There are people who are in re-education camps. Thankfully, we don't have those. Anyway, not yet. There are still people who say Christians should go to re-education camps, or Trump supporters should go to re-education camps. And I think about the ones in China, the re-education camps where the moment you go in, you are blood-typed. And why, I'll tell you, it is for the purpose of organ harvesting. And if your blood type is and your organs are suitable, this has been going on for 20 years, that the organs are harvested from prisoners in China and sent throughout the world. It's terrible. There are things that distract us, and thankfully, we do not have these things in our reality in United States of America. We are blessed to live here in the United States of America. What a blessing our liberty is. And please, let us remember that we want to preserve this liberty that we enjoy today. And a part of that is giving thanks to God, acknowledging Him with praise and worship. And that is keeping God in proper perspective. That's what we do. That's what Christians do. And that's a part of the battle going on right now. Are we going to pay attention to things of the world, or are we going to pay attention to our relationship with God Jesus? I was listening about a week ago to J.D. Farag, preacher. And he was talking about the plans that are in place for a dark winter. That's the name of the operation. It's a pre-planned operation to create a crisis, and from that crisis to change our life, the life that the people of the U.S. live, and to change our government and the structure of everything, basically. He then went on to say that there's a process involved in that called action, reaction, solution. And the Marxists say it a little different. Different people in the world say it a little different, but that's what goes on. There is an action of, like, defund the police. There is a reaction which says either yes or no, and then there is a solution that has already been thought out ahead of time and is presented to us, the people. And we say, hey, that sounds great, let's do that. Well, that's a form of manipulation. And you have to recognize that they are the ones who created the problem and encouraged the misbehavior, and then they presented the solution. That has been going on for so many years, decades. And if you study revolutions in the world, you will recognize that this is a formula. It is a pattern that is used repeatedly in revolutions all over the world. So We have to be aware of it, and that will give us an understanding that we need to not get drawn into it, to recognize that this is a normal pattern, and we don't want it to happen to us. So on that presentation, that J.D. Farag also talked about the Bible speaking against pharmakia, and pharmakia is a root word for sorcery and deception, and along with that practice is a ritual of brewing a poison, and that poison is prepared for a victim. That's a part of pharmakia, and so he developed that thought of including a brew, and that brew was put together from all sorts of weird parts of animals, and he presented it as being called a vaccine that was then given to the victims. It was an interesting presentation. You know, the parallels that he sees, I can understand what he's talking about. It's far out, but it might be true also. And he also continued with that thought, and he said the mark of the beast is kind of similar too, because he said in so many places you would not be allowed into a store without the mark of the vaccine or your health passport, and thus you would not be able to buy or sell. Now, he certainly did not say that the vaccine was the mark of the beast, and in fact, he let us draw that conclusion. But the parallels are very interesting. The similarities, like I said, interesting. It is interesting how we are being drawn into a system where, well, everything that we do in life is being monitored and known. And how could we not think about them being totally watched over? And that's a part of the beast system, is to watch us completely. If you think about, well, think about how cell phones do it. There are cell phones in the land, and they listen to our every conversation. They tell somebody, an agency like NSA, exactly where we are all the time. It can even tell what room of the house you're in, or if you go from one chair to another. That's how accurate the cell phones are in pinning down your location. Well, that's going on. Is the cell phone the mark of the beast? Well, sure does not think, we don't think so. But it is something which we can sure be aware of. All these things are pointing in that direction. And we can question it, we ought, but we also ought to question, why is Google doing this to us? Why is the NSA, National Security Agency, tracking every single phone call that we make? And what does it mean? Yes, if I knew the answer, I'd tell you I don't, but I just know to be questioning what it is, questioning the beast system. And the beast system, just from what is already in place, well, know everything there is to know about you. And that is just the system. That's the way it is. And I sure know there's plenty of people who say, oh, so what? Let the authorities know all about me. I have nothing to hide. Well, it's not a problem as long as your government is good. But if the government ever turns into a bad entity, then we've got problems. Oh, yes. And who knows if those woke people in government are going to say that we, the Christians, are so intolerant that they need to be re-educated and put into a re-education camp. Don't think it could not happen. It's happened all over the world. It can happen here. Don't be surprised. It really could. And with the way the population is being split into, I just said woke. So it could be the woke crowd and the stick-in-the-mud conservatives. I don't know. But we are facing a society that is being divided more and more. And remember, there's that Bible phrase, oh, it's also in the world, that a divided kingdom cannot stand. There's the Marxist view that where they say a divide and conquer is the key to controlling the world. So there's things about divide and conquer that we certainly must be aware of. It's a historical process. Thousands of years it has been a way of conquering, divide and conquer. So right now, we are free Americans, we certainly are, and we want to maintain our freedom. We want to stand up for our rights, and we want to be kind and compassionate to the downtrodden and to the unsaved people of the world. See, throughout history, there has been a struggle to remain free, because there's always been somebody who wanted what you have. That's been the way of the world, and the strong have always taken what the weak could not hold on to. That's just the way it is. And so we have to be strong enough in our spirit and in our physical everything to hold on to what we have. I think of Gideon. Gideon, at the time that he was alive in Israel, he was not allowed to thresh wheat, so he had to do that on a different floor. The captives, the Israelites, were captives of the Midians, and so they had to do their resistance in secret, and that's or harvest food in secret so it was not taken away, or whatever it was. They weren't allowed to have weapons either. Nobody could have a bow and arrow or anything of steel. That was just not allowed because they were captives at that time. And Gideon organized an army, and God kept shrinking his army, saying, look what God can do. Look what God can do. And that's what we have to say today also. Look what God can do. But then we have to act on it. And we have to say, yes, Lord, we want you to act. We want your protection. We want the freedom to worship you. And a part of that freedom is that we stay free people. How do we do that? We can look at history. I think of Mordecai. Remember, he would not bow to Haman. That was in Esther chapter 3. And that is something that we have to kind of consider for our lives. That's what I think. We will not bow down. We will not take a knee and bow to our to anybody but Jesus Christ. So that's a part of what we do to maintain our freedom. I think of the founding fathers, too, and I think of Patrick Henry, because I just read a book about him. It was like a 120-year-old book, and it described the life of Patrick Henry, a man who was 6 feet tall, very slender. He was married and he had children, and he tried his luck at being a farmer, but he lacked those agricultural skills, and so he sold his farm, and he bought a store, he tried to run that store, but he lacked the mercantile skills, so he sold his store and he became a lawyer. He just barely passed his exam, but he became a lawyer. He had a buoyant mind and a good nature, so he got along. So he got into politics, and he became a representative, and he used his skill as a good storyteller to get friendly with people, and people liked him. And there was a concern about the British sending their navy against America, and they had just gotten into sight, and so he had a speech to fire up his fellow patriots, the founding fathers, and he concluded his speech with the words, "Give me liberty or give me death." And that rallied the other representatives, and they agreed to fight the British. Well, anyway, that's how Patrick Henry became famous. See, all through life, we have to consider, are we going to fight for what is right in God's eyes, or are we going to have fear? You know, fear can stand for two things. One is forget everything and run, or fear can stand for face everything and rise. The choice is yours. We have decisions right in front of us, and we have to hold on to our freedom because there are people who want what we have. Yes, our freedom, and yes, all the riches that we have, they want our country. So, remember that we want to remain free and hold on to our freedoms. Remember to pray for our country and for our people. Pray, pray, and pray. And if you'd like a copy of my free preparedness pamphlet, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember, you can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live inside your